me.
I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
I am who Christ is.
Now, when we believe the word of God works in us. It means that the word of God has a working ability. Now, the word works in your spirit. The word works in your soul. And then the word works in your body.
And sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and body.
So the word of God has a surgical power. The church is not supposed to teach sin. We are supposed to teach righteousness because we are the righteousness of God.
For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable unto instruction in righteousness. Not instruction in sin.
We don't need to have knowledge about sin. We need to have knowledge about righteousness. Because that is who we are.
You are invited to World Changes Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
In heavenly place.
In heavenly place.
Now.
Now.
Say the third time. Say, I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
In heavenly place.
In heavenly place.
Now.
Now.
Now, I want you to say this one too. We've been saying, I'm who Christ is. I have what Christ. I want you to say it this way, this time around. Say, I am who Christ is.
I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ who is in me has.
I have what Christ who is in me has.
I have what Christ who is in me has. I can do what Christ who is in me can do.
I can do what Christ who is in me can do.
I can do what Christ who is in me can do.
I can do what Christ who is in me can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
I am seated where Christ is seated.
Hallelujah. Shall we please be seated? Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 15. To 18. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. As you open your Bible, I want you to look at someone and tell the person, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Tell the next person, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Oh, shake hands with somebody and tell the person, you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Shout hallelujah. Tell the person, get ready to be empowered.
Get ready to be empowered.
Tell another person, get ready to be empowered.
Get ready to be empowered.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now shall we all open our Bibles to John, Gospel of John, chapter 14. We've been talking about faith, our walk of faith. Tell somebody, we've been talking about our walk of faith. Our walk of faith. And the first time we talked about our walk of faith, and I actually talked about the necessity of faith. And the second one I talked about our walk of faith, and today I want to talk about what faith is. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Open your Bible to John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. We've talked about faith. I want to talk about what is faith. What is faith? Before I talk about what is faith, John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. I want you to understand this. Are you here? I want you to understand that God has designed your life in Christ Jesus. God has designed your life in Christ Jesus. And God has made your life in Him in such a way. And what God is expecting from you is bigger than what your mind can tell you. Are you listening? A lot of times when we are born again, we are not nurtured in the Word of God. And because we are not nurtured in the Word of God and we just love to be in a denomination and always be worshiping there on Sundays, what happens is that we end up acting, speaking, believing things which are not consistent with the Word of God. Sometimes we act, our actions are not consistent with the Word of God. Our thoughts are not consistent with the Word of God. But see, God wants the Word of God. He says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So God wants the Word of God to dwell in you richly, so that your decisions will be according to the Word. Hallelujah. So that your thoughts will be according to the Word. So that your actions will be according to God's Word. Why? Because it's only the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God's Word, that can put you into the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. And God wants you to function, from a supernatural perspective. Tell somebody, God wants you to function from a supernatural perspective. And what can take all the limits from your life when you are in Christ Jesus is knowledge. See, when you are in Christ, all limitations are broken. But what can take the limits experientially from your life is the knowledge of Christ. That's why the Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. And it says, because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you. So the more you reject knowledge, the more you reject the ways of God. And the more you reject the ways of God, the more the Word of God cannot be of profiting to you, because your decisions and your actions will not be consistent with God's Word. When your decisions are not consistent with God's Word, you have subjected yourself to the world. Are you listening? When your decisions are not consistent with the Word of God, when your actions are not consistent with the Word of God, you are subject to all the things that happen in the world. I've always said that we are not victims in this world. We are victors. Faith gives us that victory. In other words, through faith, we are able to have that victory. We are able to experience the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Victory over circumstances of life. Shout hallelujah. Victory over sicknesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is important that whenever we come for watching, we don't come as if we have just come to hear something and then go. No. But we've come to hear something that can impact our lives and enable us to impact the world. If your vision in life is just about you and the kids and your husband that you have, then you better not be a Christian. Because God's dream for you in Christ is bigger. A lot of times what we have, the vision we have in our life is just how to get some money after school, get a house, get a car, house, husband, kids, and that's all. But that's too lesser for you. Why? Because in the mind of God, what God thinks about you and what God has planned and purposed for you in Christ is greater. So God wants your vision in life, your purpose in life, to be greater. God wants you to think and dream big. God wants you to see you in shout hallelujah. God wants to see you being celebrated all over the world, not just in your family. Now some people will say that, oh, now I bought a car, nobody in my family has bought a car. That makes them happy. That is their whole vision. And I've said it, that if your father tells you to follow him, and you've not seen your father have so much money to go and construct the road to your village, don't follow him. Why? Because what you are receiving here is what will take you out of the realm of limitation financially. Limitation all around, limitations. You are not limited. Why? Because you have received a knowledge that puts you there. Hallelujah. So your vision about life must not be small. That is why Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." By declaring you the light of the world, he has He's trying to tell that your impact should be worldwide. Your impact should not be just some small things. I have two cars. I have one house. I have two kids. My children will be happy. It's too small. Look at someone, tell the person, it is too small. And that is why it's important that when we get born again, we are nurtured in the word of God. Why? Because all that we hear from the world brings us to a point of fear. Brings us to a point of limitations. Impossibles. We can't do this. When I check my salary, how can I think about buying a jet? Shout hallelujah. For the Bible says, for it is not by might nor by power. It says, but by my spirit. When you are born again in Christ, it says, not that you are sufficient of yourselves to think anything as of yourself, but your sufficiency is of God. Your sufficiency, your ability is of God. Shout hallelujah. So in your life, if all you know is what you can work for and what you can struggle for and all those things, your whole life will be some small life. Why? Because you have become so self-centered that all that you can have is for yourself. But you see, the knowledge of Christ breaks all those hedges and gives you reasons why you can be more than where you are, and why you can impact the world, and why you can be more richer than whatever anybody you've seen around or whoever you've seen around. Hallelujah. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that there is a knowledge that is important for you. It's the knowledge of Christ. It is the word of God. It is important. It's important that we stop thinking like... No. I want you to dream big. Think big. Think like a rich child of a rich God. Think like somebody who is blessed. Don't think like somebody who has just finished school. No. Don't think like somebody who's just going to school to get some job. Think this, say that you are blessed. Think as somebody who is blessed. It's important. It's important. Shout hallelujah. Because once we are blessed, God expects great things from us. He says, look to your father Abraham. I called him alone. I blessed him. If you are blessed, God is looking for something great from you. God wants to see you impact the world. Hallelujah. Say, I'm impacting the world. Say, I'm impacting the world. So that in whatever area you find yourself, your goal is to impact the world. Not just to stay in an office, small office, and be happy. Now people, all their dreams is to work for somebody. I say it every time. People just dream, I want to work for somebody. You always want to work for somebody. You don't want to dream for somebody to work for you. Why? Because you think it's impossible. All you think about is that salary you're receiving is too small. How can I start something that somebody work for me? Why? The knowledge that you have from the world is making you think that way. When you receive much of the knowledge of Christ, those things leave you. You begin to think greater, bigger. Why? Because what you begin to think about is how to employ others, how to pay others. Your vision changes. Shout hallelujah. So it is important. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 14 quickly. Verse 16 to 18. Over down, you can read it.
John chapter 14. Mm-hmm. Verse 16. Mm-hmm. And I will pray the Father.
And I will pray the Father. Mm-hmm.
And he shall give you another comforter.
Another comforter.
That he may abide with you forever.
That he may abide with you forever. Now listen. You see, when you are born again, you are born into Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he says, he is a new creation. So you are born into Christ. Now, Jesus is speaking here. He says that, I will pray the Father, I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. He was telling them that he was going to ask the Father to give them another one of his kind. Hallelujah. So, he was saying that, I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another one of my kind. That he may do what? He may abide with you forever. Meaning that he was going He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. But I'll pray the Father. I'll ask him and he shall give you another comforter. Another one who was of his kind. Of the kind of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knew that after his resurrection, those who believe in him must receive him. And the only way they could receive him was to receive the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Why? Because Jesus knew that the Holy Ghost was going to come with his presence. So he says, I will pray the Father and shall give you another comforter. The Holy Ghost comes into the Christian with the presence of Jesus. So where the Holy Ghost is, Jesus is there. You can write it down. The Holy Ghost comes into the Christian with the presence of Jesus. So where the Holy Ghost is, Jesus is there. So I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. Another one who is just as I am. The Holy Ghost. That he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. People are asking, why are you talking about the Holy Ghost? No, I'm talking about faith. I want you to understand something first. Hallelujah. Okay, great.
John chapter 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Another comforter. Uh-huh.
That he may abide with you forever.
That he may abide with you forever. Uh-huh.
Even the Spirit of truth.
Even the Spirit of truth.
Whom the world cannot receive.
Uh-huh, quickly.
Because it seeth him not,
mm-hmm.
neither knoweth him,
mm-hmm.
but ye know him,
mm-hmm.
for he dwelleth with you.
Now, if you are reading your Bible, you have your Bibles, look at that. It says, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. So Jesus was talking about somebody who was of his kind. He was talking about somebody who was coming with his presence. So he said, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. So when he was talking to the disciples about the coming of the Holy Ghost, because he, Jesus, was with them, he said, he dwelleth with you. Then he said, and he shall be in you. Now, in you, he was talking about what was going to happen in the future. In other words, he was trying to make the Holy Ghost as himself. He was trying to present to the disciples that the Holy Ghost that he was going to ask the Father to give them was going to be of himself, or was going to be as himself. Do you get that? So the Holy Ghost was coming to dwell in them, but then Jesus was with them. So he was bringing somebody who was just as he is. Are you following? So he says, he dwells with you. He was not talking about the Holy, he was talking about he, Jesus. Then he said, and it shall be in you. At that time, Jesus was not in them. So he was talking about the future, that when believers believed in him after his resurrection, the Holy Ghost will come and dwell in them. And when the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in them, Christ will be in them. Why? Because the one who was standing with them was going to come and dwell in them through his Spirit, called the Holy Ghost. So where the Holy Ghost steps in, the presence of God is there. That's why I said the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. So when you get born again and you receive the Holy Ghost, you have also received Christ. A lot of times, when we receive the Holy Ghost, all we know is that, the ministry of the Holy Ghost in us, and the Holy Ghost functions in us, and the power of the Holy Ghost in us. But then there's another understanding, that same Holy Ghost who is in you is also the presence of Christ. Hallelujah. He is the one who was coming to dwell in them for Christ. So he was coming into them with the presence of Christ. The presence of a person is that person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following? Your presence is you. So, when Jesus said that the Holy Ghost was coming with his presence, or he was coming to dwell in them, he was talking, saying that he was also come and dwelled in them. How? Through the Holy Ghost. Are you following? So, when you get born again, and you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received Christ. I've said it over and over. It's important that when you get born again, you don't think that you are apart or you are afar of Christ. As long as you can think that you are afar of Christ, you can also think that it's all of yourself. And because of that, you begin to see the limitations that you have ahead of you and the impossibilities that you have ahead of you. But when you see that Christ is in you and you are in Christ, Then you begin to see how possible things are because you are in Christ, to whom all things are possible to. Are you following? All right, continue.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Spirit of truth,
uh-huh,
whom the world cannot receive,
uh-huh,
because it seeth him not,
mm-hmm,
neither knoweth him,
mm-hmm,
but ye know him,
mm-hmm,
for he dwelleth with you,
mm-hmm,
and shall be in you.
Uh-huh.
I will not leave you comfortless.
That's verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless.
Uh-huh. I will come to you.
I will come to you. I will not leave you as, I will not leave you as comfortless or as orphans, but I will do what? I'll come to you. How was he going to come to them? How was he going to come to them? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Do you understand that? So if Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. How was he going to come to them? Through the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is in you. Jesus is in you. Are you following? He has now come to us. When we are born again, Jesus has come to us. We have believed in Jesus and he has done what? He has come to us. How? Through the Holy Ghost. So, it's important, I've explained this in a way, but I want to explain again, that it's important you understand the ministry of the Holy Ghost in you, who the Holy Ghost is. And it's important you understand that the Holy Ghost, you understand the Holy Ghost as the presence of Christ. Two important things. You understand the Holy Ghost in you with his ministry. And you also understand that the Holy Ghost is the presence of Christ in you. So once you have the Holy Ghost in you, Christ is in you. How many of you understand it? Hallelujah. So it is important that you know the Holy Ghost is in me, Christ is in me. If Christ is in me, what can I do? If I am in Christ. So when you are born again, you live in Christ. And Christ lives in you. You live in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Because the Holy Ghost comes into you with the presence of Christ. And because when the Holy Ghost is in you, Christ is in you, or Jesus is in you. When you are born again, you live in Jesus Christ. Your spirit is in Christ. Christ is in your spirit. All housed in this body. So, oh, hallelujah. Say, Christ is not afar off from me. Say that. Say, Christ is not separate from me. Say, Christ is not apart from me. Say, Christ is in me. Say, I am in Christ. My spirit is in Christ. Christ is in my spirit. Shout hallelujah. That is when you begin to discover that you say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I have Christ who is in me has. So when you're looking at what you have, you don't look at what your father left you, what your mother left you. You look at what Christ has in you. What does Christ have in you? Oh, shout hallelujah. Shout
hallelujah.
Say, I'm unlimited.
Say, all things are possible to me.
Say, I'm growing higher and higher.
Why?
Because Christ is in you. Now, you want to check, what do I have? What do I have? Say, hey, I don't have anything. Don't ever say you don't have anything. Why? Because you have Christ. You look at Christ in you to define what you have. You say, Christ is in me, I have something. I have something. You always have something to offer. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You say, hey, what can I do? Ask for me, I can't do anything about this thing. You can do something. The reason why you can do something is because what you can do is defined by what Christ can do in you and through you. There is a person in you who can do those things, and you are in that person.
Shout hallelujah.
So it is important. These things I'm sharing with you. Last week I said it here. If you can hold on to this thing and do what I have told you to do with this knowledge, you will see results. You will see results. You will see results. You are not ordinary. You are not disadvantaged. You used to think, when you were coming, you used to think, oh, you are disadvantaged. As for me, problems here and there. No, you no longer think problems. You think Christ in you. When you see problems, you face the problems with Christ in you. And I in Christ. There is a person in you. Now, listen. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I just wanted to explain this one very well. Again. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen.
Faith, the first one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of, you see, we've talked about faith. We've talked about, for those people who are not here, we talked about two kinds of faith. We said there is faith and there is our faith. Then we said there is faith by which the elders obtain the good report. And there is our faith, which is our faith in Christ Jesus, by which we live as Christ. And we explained the difference that the faith of the Old Testament was the faith that the elders used in obtaining a good report. Hallelujah. And that God said that they without us should not be made perfect. And so in Hebrews 12, it tells us that we should look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So then he gives us a different kind of faith, and the author and the finisher is Jesus. And we say that it means that the author and the finisher means that he's the chief leader of our faith, and the one who has brought faith to its perfection, Jesus. It is his kind of faith that we have. We call that kind of faith the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. So we have received the God kind of faith in us. Understand that? Now, we say, what is faith? We say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, and we've explained it over and over that Christ is in us. So we say that our hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for, means that faith gives substance to what we are hoping for. Let me say, what we are hoping for is what we are expecting. So when you read the Old Testament, you discover that God gave some of them promises. And when God gave them promises, they were expecting the fulfillment of the promise. So they needed to hold on to God's word until the promise that God gave them was fulfilled. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, God told Noah, this is going to happen. Told him what he should do. And Noah had to hold on to God's word until the time came when God himself chose that he was going to fulfill what he told Noah. Are you following? So, they hoped for certain things because God spoke to them in the Old Testament. They hoped for certain things. They expected the things that God told them that they would receive. They expected it. And they held on to God's word until God brought the promises to pass. Hallelujah. That was in the Old Testament. And he calls those people the elders. Hallelujah. Then I said that when we come into the New Testament, see, I call this definition the universal definition of faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then we say it means that faith gives substance to what you hope for. Faith, the God kind of faith that you have, the purpose of that God kind of faith is to give substance to what you hope for. Then we said that when you are in Christ Jesus, listen very carefully, your hope is defined. In the Old Testament, God gave, it's very important I explain this thing again. But when I went to my study, people didn't understand it. See, in the Old Testament, God gave them promises. They hoped for the manifestation of the promise. Then they had faith in what God had told them. And then God chose in one day or at one time to fulfill it. In the New Testament, because when you are born again, your being born again is dependent on one person called Christ. And that Christ lives in you. Your hope is defined by that person who is in you. Your hope is defined. So, Ephesians chapter 3 says that talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, Christ is the glory of God. Write that one down. Christ is the glory of God. Write it down. In the New Testament, your hope is defined in Christ. Write it down. Olama sandalaba hashaka. Velonko sandalaba hasai. Your hope is defined in Christ. The New Testament, your hope is defined in Christ. My hope is defined in Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So in the New Testament, your hope is defined in Christ. Then write, Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. Then write, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. In Ephesians chapter 3 it says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. So see, Christ is the glory of God. Then Paul comes in Ephesians chapter 3. Open to Ephesians chapter 3. No, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Quickly. I think I'm getting used to Ephesians chapter 3 so much. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Oh,
Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among
of
the
this
Gentiles.
Mystery among the Gentiles.
Which is Christ in you.
Which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory. So, if Christ is in you, now listen. Christ is the glory of God. Then he says that Christ in you. Before we establish the truth that Christ is in you and you are in Christ. Paul comes to explain to us that if Christ is in us, then our hope is a hope of glory. Hallelujah. Have you all seen it? Christ is in us. Our hope is the hope of glory. In other words, because Christ is in us, our hope is defined. Our expectations, they are defined. They are defined by what? By Christ who is in you. Are you listening? Your expectations are defined by Christ who is in you. Your hope. So when it says faith is the substance of the things that you hope for, or faith is the substance of the things that you are expecting, or faith gives substance, the first thing is that what are you expecting? Or what is your hope? And we say your hope is defined in Christ. First Peter chapter 1 verse 6 says, he has called us unto a lively hope. He has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So in Christ Jesus, our hope has been defined. We've been called unto what? Or begotten unto what? A lively hope. And the Bible says that if Christ be in us, then our hope is defined. And that hope is a hope of glory. How is it a hope of glory? It's a hope of glory because Christ is the glory of God. So, when if faith gives substance to what you hope for, faith gives substance to what you hope for, and what you hope for is glory because Christ is in you, then faith is a manifestation of the glory. Are you following? Oh, hallelujah. Are you following? Now, if faith gives substance to what you hope for, and what you hope for is glory, then how does faith give substance to what you hope for? It means that faith is the manifestation of the glory. When there is a manifestation of the glory, there is no longer a hope. There is an experience of the glory. And there is only a manifestation of the glory when there is a manifestation of Christ. Because Christ is a... Can I have a blackboard? A chalkboard? Hallelujah. So if faith gives substance to what you hope for, and what you hope for is glory because your expectation or your hope is defined in Christ, and that definition is glory. When God looks at you, all that is expecting from you is glory. When you look at yourself in Christ, all you expect is glory. But then, expecting glory and experiencing glory are two different things. You are expecting glory. You see, a lot of times, many Christians think that they are living just unto themselves. We are not living unto ourselves. When we say you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are no longer yourself. When we say this building has a Lord, or it's a house, there is a house Lord, a landlord, what does it mean? It means that Lord is the owner of the thing. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he is your owner. You don't live unto yourself. Hallelujah. That means that everything about you is not just about yourself, but about Christ. Because you are now positioned in Christ. And Christ is positioned in you. In the same way, your hope is not just a hope for this one thing or this one thing. No, it's a hope of glory. You see, but there's a difference between expecting glory and having glory. Expecting glory means that we are hoping for glory. One day, in the future. But we say faith gives substance to your hope. In other words, when we say you are acting in faith, you have faith. When we say this person is walking by faith, it means that person is manifesting glory. When we say you are walking by faith, it says, well, we walk by faith. When we say you are walking by faith, it means that what are you doing? You are manifesting glory. Why? When we say you are hoping in Christ, it means that you are expecting glory. When we say that you are walking by faith, it means that you are manifesting glory. There is one thing hoping for something. There's another thing manifesting that thing. There is one thing hoping for something. There's another thing having or experiencing that thing. So, faith gives you substance of your expectation. Faith takes you from that realm where you are hoping for the glory to that realm where you are experiencing the glory. That's what faith does. It gives you substance. Faith is the substance. And we said that Christ is the glory of God. It means that when I'm manifesting glory, I'm manifesting Christ. Because Christ is the glory of God. Shout hallelujah. So in the New Testament, we talk about you are walking by faith, means you are manifesting Christ. When we say you are hoping in the New Testament, it is you are hoping for glory. You are expecting glory. When we say you are walking by faith, you are manifesting glory or you are manifesting Christ. Because Christ is the glory of God. Hallelujah. So you see, we are glorified ones, or the church is a glorified church. Hallelujah. We are people of glory. Why? Because we belong to Christ. Say, I'm not my own. So when you understand that Christ is the glory of God, this was a mathematical, if I had the board, I'll just write it here. Christ equals the glory of God. Change of subject. Christ is equal to what? The glory of God. Hope is equal to what? Expecting glory. Now, faith pulls you from expecting glory to experiencing glory. And Christ is the glory of God. So what? If Christ is the glory of God and you're experiencing glory, it means you're experiencing Christ. So, faith is the manifestation of Christ. Or faith is the manifestation of glory. So when we come to a garden like this, all that we expect to happen is glory. When God looks at us, all that is expecting is glory. But God can expect glory. That doesn't mean you experience glory. Why? He's expecting glory because he's seeing glory with you. He's seeing Christ with you. But whether you will experience the glory or never experience the glory until you go back to heaven is by your faith. So, what God can do, your faith can do. Because you are manifesting Christ. Your faith can do what God can do. Hallelujah. The God kind of faith that you have received can do what God can do. That is why Christians who just sit down and keep doing God do, God do, God do, never receive anything. They never have anything. They have nothing to show. Why? Because they never take any action. They just sit down telling God to do something. But God has given us his kind of faith. To walk by, to walk with. He says, for we walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How do you live by faith? By manifesting Christ. How do you live by faith? By manifesting glory. What are you hoping for? You're hoping for glory. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So our hope is not, oh, I'm expecting this thing to happen. No, your hope is a hope of glory. Hallelujah. But faith gives substance. Faith gives substance. Faith is the substance. Faith makes tangible glory. Faith makes tangible. Faith materializes what you're hoping for. So when you are in faith, you are no longer in hope. When you are in hope, you are not in faith. Because when you are in hope, you are expecting. When you are in faith, you are manifesting. Two words, expectation and manifestation. When you are in hope, you are doing what? You are expecting glory. When you are in faith, you are manifesting glory. And we said, when we read Hebrews chapter 12, that we said that, he said that, looking unto Jesus, who is the chief leader of our faith. He's the chief leader of which people's faith? Our faith. That is why the life of Jesus was a life of glory. And that is what he's watching to see from the church. Say, I'm a glorified one. The Bible said, those he called, he glorified. He glorified. He glorified. I am glorified. But just sitting there and hoping that one day when you go to do something, we will not do anything. God has given you what is called his kind of faith. God has given you Christ as your possession. God says now, manifest that Christ that he has given to you by the faith he has given you. So faith is the manifestation of Christ, or faith is the manifestation of glory. Hallelujah. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason why you can hope for glory is because Christ is in you. And Christ in you is not Christ who is hoping for glory. It's you who is hoping for glory. He says Christ is the glory of God. But when he says Christ in you, he says the hope of glory. So who is hoping the glory? The you. Because Christ is the glory. But your faith gives substance to that hope. That hope of glory. Faith gives substance. Faith materializes that hope. So when you are in the realm of faith, you are bringing glory out. You are bringing Christ out. Are you following? So just having Christ in you will not do anything, even though it's better. Christ is in you. You can say Christ is in you. I am in Christ. But getting to know that you can bring this Christ outside, wherever you find yourself, by your faith. When we say you are walking by faith, you are manifesting Christ. You are not sitting down to receive. You say you have faith. You don't have. What you have is the God kind of faith you have received. But when we say you are walking by faith, you are not sitting down. Faith is an action. Faith is manifesting Christ. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Christ is the glory of God. Now listen. Hallelujah. Are you following? Are you following? Say faith is manifesting Christ. Shout it, say, faith is manifesting Christ.
Faith is manifesting Christ.
Or faith is the manifestation of Christ.
Faith is the manifestation of Christ.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Faith is manifesting Christ. Faith is manifesting Christ. Faith is manifesting Christ. God has called us unto manifestations. For the earnest expectation of the creating. Waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waits for what? For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. He didn't say wait for the manifestation of God. He says wait for the manifestation of the son. Who is a son of God? Are you a child of God here? He says the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the sitting down. God, come and do. No. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons. Who are the sons? We are the sons. Why would they wait for manifestations? Because he has given us his kind of faith. And because he has given us Christ, his firstborn. By that he has made us his son. And by that he's expecting a manifestation of this sonship. Oh, shout hallelujah. So the world is waiting for your manifestation. And I'm telling you that that manifestation will not come because you are calling God to come and manifest. He didn't say he will come and manifest. He said he will manifest. But that manifestation is by your faith. So faith is an action. You say Christ is in me. I am in Christ. I have the God kind of faith. You say it. You don't just say it. When you become conscious of Christ, that's why I said that the more you see Christ in you, the more your faith becomes operative. The more you see Christ in you, the more your faith becomes operative. The more I see Christ in me, the more my faith becomes operative. Why? Because when I'm addressing an issue, I'm not addressing it just as myself. I can see Christ in me. I have seen Christ in me. I have seen faith. I know what faith is. What do? I manifest Christ. Shout hallelujah. That is why I said that there's a difference between the finished works of the cross and the good works of the throne. And I said I'll explain it later on. There is the finished works of the cross. There is what Jesus did on the cross that he has finished. Then there is the good works of the throne. There is the works that we produce as a result of where Christ is seated. So the finished works of the cross is by the things that Jesus has done on the cross. Jesus became sin. Jesus became sickness. Jesus became a curse for the Jews on the cross. But after his resurrection, he is now seated. Now that he is seated at the right hand of God, he is not only seated at the right hand of God. We are seated at the right hand of God with him. It's not just only that one. He is also seated on this earth with us. Why? Because he is living in us on this earth. And we are seated together with him, and he is seated together with us. And by that sitting together, as we walk on this earth, we are working with him. The reason why things bow, the reason why business opportunities has to come, this is the reason. The reason why you can't think lesser. You can't say, as for me, I'm disadvantaged. As for me, I don't have anybody to help me. You don't know who you have. You don't need anybody to help you. The person you need to help you is in you. Haven't you read the Bible when the Bible says that when David was going to face Goliath, all that he had was the Holy Ghost. The anointing of God was on that boy. What was he going with? With a sling and a stone. That is why the Christian life is a supernatural life. Faith puts you on the supernatural plane. Faith. When you do things naturally, you are discussing business ideas with people. They don't understand. They don't want to help you. You are going and coming. You are going and coming. You change it. You switch from the natural into the supernatural. You switch onto faith. For nothing shall be impossible with the one who has faith. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. That's what I'm telling you. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what is happening around you. You don't care about what is happening around you. You only care about what is happening in you. I say you don't care about what is happening around you. You care about what is happening in you. There is somebody in you. Your faith puts that person to work. Your faith puts that person to work. Wherever that person steps, things happen. That is why the Bible says one day Paul and Silas, they were arrested. They were put in prison. They were beaten. They were put in prison. Before they entered the prison, there were many prisoners. Nothing happened. Something is going to happen. As you understand, things will happen in your life. Supernatural things will take place in your life. You wouldn't need anybody to pray for you. You will know what to do. The people were in prison already before Paul and Silas were put in prison. But when those men entered, they were not ordinary. When those men entered the prison room, they were not ordinary. Folks, they were not. Why? Because they had Christ in them. They had a message to give. They had Christ in them. They exercised their faith. The Bible never said, they said, God, why have they arrested us? Oh, we went to preach. You sent us to preach. They have arrested us. Oh, la hasanda la hasoko bolo hosekai. Why? They were in prison with the other fellows. Before they entered, some people were in prison. Nothing ever happened. As long as they were not there, nothing happened. But when those two men entered prison, things happened. The Bible says they exercised their faith. What did they do? And the Bible says, as they prayed and sang praises, they did not say, God, come and help us. God, deliver us. God, no. They prayed in the Holy Ghost. And they sang praises. The Bible says, when they began to pray and sing praises, when they began to pray and sing praises, there was an earthquake. Why? Two men had entered prison. The prison was too small. The prison could not contain those two men. There were other men that the prison could contain, but not these two men. The prison recognized that these are great men. Why? They were carrying Christ into the prison. It doesn't matter which business you find yourself in. As long as you are carrying Christ into that business, it's a success. Oh, that hush. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When those two men entered the prison and they prayed and sang praises unto their Lord, be their glory. Great things he has done. After they've been beaten, they knew who they were. Paul. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul. What did they do? They began to pray and sing praises. The Bible says, when they prayed and sang praises, there was an earthquake. See, there was an earthquake in the prison. There was a quaking in the prison. A shaking only in the prison. There was no earthquake all around apart from the prison. Why? Those men were dead. They had to be freed. God had to free those men. Why? Christ was in them. Paul said, this prison cannot contain us. Don't worry. They allowed them to put them in prison. But when they prayed and sang praise, there was an earthquake. The Bible says, and the prison doors opened. Nobody opened it. Opened on its own. Why? Kalama Sekaya. Oko Livasa Dalama Saya. Loko Sande Vesotole Brakosi Kitala Shaya. The prison doors opened. Their chains, their bands were loosed. The people were chained. The chain just broke off. It is impossible for a Christian to be chained. Impossible. Who will chain you? The one who will chain you is lesser. See, faith is the manifestation of Christ. Christ is the authority of God. Write it down. I'm showing you who Christ, the person who is in you, who he is. And because he is in you, you can boldly and confidently go to do things by your faith, knowing that this is the result that will come out. Faith knows the outcome. Faith knows the outcome. Faith knows the outcome. Faith knows the outcome. Oh, Lama Sanka Bahashakaya. There was an earthquake. The doors opened, their chains were loosed. Say, I can no longer fail. Christ in me, I'm a success. When I touch a business, Christ has touched the business. When I touch money, Christ has touched the money. The people who came out of prison, the whole place was shaking. All that it is powerful. Not only their doors were opened, though, all the prison doors were opened. Two people in a prison. And all the prison doors were opened. Why? It's not because God was doing something from heaven. No. It's because Christ was in some people. This Jesus who was in some people was the one they were going to arrest, and he asked them, who are you people looking for? When they were going to arrest him, when they met him and said, who are you people looking for? They all fell down. He asked them again, said, who are you people looking for? Three times. He said, this is your hour. The hour of darkness. This is your time. And then he gave himself up. It would have been, don't you read the Bible? The Bible said they could not touch him. At a point in time, they were angry that he was preaching, but they could not touch him. Now that Christ after resurrection dwells in you. Nothing that touches you can live. If anything touches you negatively, it's dead. Cannot live. Are you listening? Now listen. Faith is the manifestation of Christ. Faith is the manifestation of authority. Write it down. Why? Because Christ is the authority, the spiritual authority of God. Faith is the, I'm showing you. If we say Christ is in you, and faith is the manifestation of Christ, who is this person in you? Who is this person that we say is in you? Who is he? Because the knowledge of this person in you will make you do things. It will make you not sit down and relax for situations to overwhelm you. No. That's why I said that we don't pray about situations, we speak. So, because faith is the manifestation of Christ, Christ is the authority of God. Why? When he arose from the dead, the Bible says he was raised up. Ephesians chapter 1. He was raised. When Peter was narrating it in Acts chapter 2, verse, open to Acts chapter 2, verse 32, 33. Kola hashan dalahasaya. Monto vosindi bakasa. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Ole masanda la bakaya, sandele beko soya. Quickly, Acts chapter 2, verse 33. 32, 33, quickly. What is there over?
Chapter 2, verse 32 to 33. This Jesus had God raised up.
This Jesus has God raised up.
Whereof we all are witnesses.
Oh, whereof we all are witnesses.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted.
Therefore, being at the right hand of God and exalted.
And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost.
This Jesus was raised, exalted, made to sit at the right hand of God. All things and names and devils and demons and contracts all under his feet. One person. So when we say this Christ is in you, he is seated at the right hand of God. The one who is seated at the right hand of God is the one who is in you. Why? What have I said? By the Holy Ghost. So once the Holy Ghost is in you and Christ is in you, the person who is seated at the right hand of God, full of authority, the one who has the highest authority both in heaven and on earth, he has the highest authority, highest spiritual authority, both in heaven. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. That person is in you. So when I say you are not afar from Christ, it means you are not afar from authority. When there's a manifestation of Christ, there's a manifestation of authority. Oh, you're my shame. See, over quickly, read it. Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1,
verse 17
downwards. 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give. Verse 19 downwards. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand.
When he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand.
In the heavenly places.
In the heavenly places.
Far above all principality.
Far above all principality.
And power.
And power.
And might.
And might.
And dominion.
And dominion.
And every name that is named.
So, set him at his own right hand where? Far above. That person who is set at the right hand of God is the same person that is in you. How is this in you? By his spirit, the Holy Ghost in you, the presence of Christ in you. So authority is not far from the Christian. The person who holds all spiritual authority. Hiya, Messiah. Are you following? The person who holds all spiritual authority. The person who holds all the highest authority on this earth and in heaven. Has control over the realm of the spirit and in the natural. That same person, the one who holds it, is the same person dwelling in you. So you are in Christ. He is set at the right hand of God. He is in you by his spirit. The same person that is set at the right hand of God is the same person that we say Christ is in you. So when by your faith you manifest Christ, means that you have come to some kind of understanding. That you are walking with Christ in you and you are in Christ. But this Christ is not just set at the right hand of God with all authority. With all his authority. He's in you. You didn't hear that. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, if he's far above, you do that. You are working with authority. You are working with a person who has authority in you. Whenever you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you're not just praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in Christ. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the presence of Christ in you. The whole message of Christianity is the message of Christ in you. is the message of Christ in you. That you know that there is a person in you. And that person who is in you has authority above every other authority. He is set at the right hand of God, but he has chosen to dwell in you on this earth. How? By his Spirit. That's what the Bible says, that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Ghost is the presence of Christ in you. Christ is in you. Now, that Christ that is set at the right hand of God is the same Christ that is in you. How? He has come to indwell you by his Spirit. So as long as the Holy Ghost is inside you, the same, that is why you can say that, oh, hallelujah. So when you walk with authority. You're walking with Christ. You're walking with authority. Why? Because the Christ you are walking with is the person who has all authority, both in heaven and on earth. Shout hallelujah. So you walk with authority. You talk with Christ. You talk with authority. You are talking with Christ. Christ talks to you. You sleep with Christ. You wake up with Christ. You travel with Christ. You go to do your business with Christ. You go to work every day with Christ. That Christ you go to work with every time, who dwells in you, is the same person who has all authority. That is why all the authority of Jesus is with the church. Go to verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 1.
22 downwards. Mm-hmm. And had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Uh-huh. Which is his body.
Which is his body. Uh-huh.
The fullness of him that filleth all in all.
The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Over to sit here. Let me just explain something. Offer you to sit here. Kalosa kalahaya. Lift up your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Bakosi talaba hashokoroboku sakira bakasaya. Mento leba kasinki raboko sa televe kosaya. Melovo sandala bako senke ribaka shandala. Hallelujah. Now listen. Christ has been raised and set at the right hand of God. But you see, he has sent his Spirit. His Spirit is the presence of him. When his Spirit proceeds from him, it is him that is coming. I explain this over and over, that you see, even when somebody dies and the person's spirit comes to indwell another person, because the person's spirit is dwelling in another person, that person is in that person. So if this lady's spirit is in this person, this lady is in this person, even though his body is taken away. Why? Because his body is just a house. So the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, which comes with the presence of Christ, is Christ. That is all. If you can understand that, then it means that if this person is Christ, set at the right hand of God, far above every name, has the highest authority. God has given him the highest authority. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That's what he said. Then he said, now, go ye therefore. Why did he say go ye therefore? Because he knew that he having the highest authority, by his Spirit coming into this person, when he's born again, he is in that person. The highest authority this person has is in this person. Why? Because by his Spirit is in this person. So this person has the Holy Ghost. This person has the presence of Christ. And this person has the highest authority with him. So when this person goes to sleep, he's sleeping with Christ, with the highest authority. Far above every demon. Demons have been defeated. See, there are two things about demons I want you to hear. Demons have been defeated, number one. Number two, demons have been made lesser. Why? Because he has raised Christ far above every demon. So, demons have to look at Christ here. And that Christ has come to indwell this person. When demons see this person, it is the same way as if they have seen the Christ who is seated. The same way. The way they respond to this one is the way they respond to this one. The reason why, last week I said, the reason why when Jesus said, quiet, be still. He said that in faith, but with authority. The reason why when he met demons and he cast out the demons, they all left, was because he cast out demons by his faith, but with authority. So faith is the manifestation of Christ. But because Christ is the authority of God, And this Christ is the one who has been raised far above and has all authority. Faith is the manifestation of the authority of Christ. So whenever Christ is in manifestation, his authority is in manifestation. The reason why you can be bold enough to cast out the devil is because the person who is far above is also in you. So, the devil has been made powerless. Jesus has rendered the devil powerless. But it's not only that. See, I explained something about the finished work of the cross. See, we are not healing the sick, or we are not casting out devils just because Jesus defeated the devil or became sickness on the cross. No. But because Christ is in us, Christ is producing the same works he produced through us on this earth. Do you understand? So because he, by reason of where he is seated in heavenly places and in us, the one who is seated in heavenly place is also seated in you. The one who is seated in heavenly place is also seated in you. Hallelujah. He's the same person who is seated here with the same authority. The same authority this person has, the same authority this person has. And because all things and all demons and all devils and all names that is named. That is why I say that when somebody is messing up, you don't have time for the person. Have time for what is inside you. Have time for yourself. Say, I have Christ. Christ is in me. I have authority. As you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the same things that Paul did. He prayed in the Holy Ghost and praised, and things happened. When you pray in the Holy Ghost and declare, things will happen. Why? You declare. When you say, it says, if you shall say to this mountain. In other words, you unleash your faith. You put your faith, which is inside you, to work by saying to something. So, demons are lesser. Not just that they are just paralyzed. No. Not that the devil is paralyzed. Not only that. That one is true. But they are also lesser to the Christian. The same way they are lesser to their master. The same way they are lesser to Jesus. That's the same way they are lesser to the Christian in whom Christ dwells. Say, Christ is in me. So whenever there is a manifestation of Christ, there is a manifestation of authority. When you say quiet, you've not just said quiet. Shout hallelujah. So,
I want to explain something.
See, I said this before, I have to explain it here. Now listen. The reason why we heal the sick, or we've been asked to heal the sick, is not because Jesus bore sickness on the cross. No. But because Jesus, where he is seated, he is supreme to all kinds of sicknesses. And he's dwelling in the Christian. So the Christian is supreme to all kinds of sicknesses. By that supremacy or by that authority, we talk to sickness. You can't talk to sickness if you don't know this thing. Why? Because you don't know what will happen. But you can only talk to sickness when you know this thing. When you have this knowledge. The reason why you can talk to your business and make your business obey. The reason why you can talk to businessmen and make them obey. They have to. They have no choice. Why? Because Jesus, far above every name that is named, including that man you're doing business with, his name. And he's seated where? In you as a Christian. I said that you have an issue with somebody. Somebody says that you will make your life a hell. Miserable. A living hell. You don't go and argue with the person. No. What do? As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you tell yourself, Christ is in me. I am in Christ. I have the God kind of faith, which says. And you know that this Christ who is in you is a person who holds authority in you. See, he is the one holding all authority. He is the one. Whether you are experiencing that or not, doesn't matter. That's what God has said. God has told you that Christ holds all authority. And has told you that Christ holds all authority is in you. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, what do? You are going to manifest Christ with your faith. What does it mean when we say you are manifesting Christ in authority? You are going to manifest the authority of this person who holds all authority in you by doing what? saying to that thing or saying to that person. So you pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, Ofer, in the name of Jesus, I say to you. Ofer may not be in the room. Listen, that is why Christianity is supernatural. Do you know what it means to turn water into wine? So we Christians, as we are not, that's why I said that when you see that naturally, hey, I've done everything. Yeah, I've gone to see this man, I've phoned this person, I've done this, everything. You switch to the supernatural. You switch to the supernatural by praying in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you see a consciousness come to you that Christ is in you, authority is in you. Why are you wasting time? Why are you making... I am a sinner. That is the reason why you will expand. Whatever you do, you will keep expanding. Financially, you will expand. Business-wise, you expand. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Even in the desert, you prosper. You have carried Christ into the desert. Have you forgotten that man? The Bible says that he took 5 loaves of bread in a desert. Did not care whether it was desert or not. Did not care. When you begin to develop, you see, when you develop this conscious Christ in you, it doesn't matter. Things begin to respond to you. Things begin to respond to you. Things begin to respond to you. Why? You are manifesting authority. You are manifesting Christ by your faith. You are not sitting down and crying. You are not letting the devil have the final say. You are not letting some man somewhere have the final say. You wouldn't give up. Oh, Makala Masandala Bahaya. That is why we are victors. That's why I've said that if all that you have dreamt about is just to marry and have kids and have 2 cars. No. You are setting a stage the next 5 years by this knowledge I've received. In the next 5 years, I should be employing people. In the next 5 years, see, there is nobody here who does business or who has something to do with anything that you are doing. See, the reason why I can't bless you so much is because you take the blessing to somebody's work. I won't talk again. And one day the person just look at you and the person say, no, you leave. No, start your own thing. You are working at the bank. You decide that in the next 5 to 7 years, I'm starting my own bank. Take off this, all this. Ask, how much money do I have? If you are looking at the amount of money you have, salary, you are in trouble. Because you can't build a bank that way. But when you look at Christ, you will build it. You don't know that you built it. That is why the child of God does not dream small. No, I can't dream small. I said, as we do watching this conference, anybody who comes consistently, after some years, I want to see you with your jet. I've told them, I said, if we start building, that we are building any auditorium for these conferences, we are adding towers. We are not hangers. So that when you come, you just come with your jet. Say, who are these people? These are world changers. The word world changer is not a term. It's a reality. We are showing people who Christians are. But these things can't happen when you just sit down and cross your legs for God to come and do. It will happen when you know that you have this kind of faith and that you have Christ in you. And this Christ in you is what? Authority in you. The person who holds all authority. That is why when the man says no, he wakes up and says, Kojo, hello, are you there? Come. Something happened. It is called the supernatural happenings. When you come for watching this conference over and over again after some years, I meet you the same way, I'll be surprised. I've said over and over that I'll be so surprised if I don't see people looking for watching this conference with their jets. I'll be so surprised. The reason why you can't dream of jets is because you are looking at your salary. What your salary is according to your certificate. Your life is founded on a certificate. My God. Opportunities are there for you. But you see, it's the manifestation. See, when we talk about sickness, see, I've said it here over and over again. I've said sickness, according to the scriptures, is a spirit of infirmity. So when we say, what is sickness? According to the Bible, listen very carefully. According to the scriptures, when we say, what is sickness? sickness is an oppression of the devil caused by the spirit of infirmity. Write it in your book. Whether you like it or not, you write it. Sickness is an oppression of... quickly open to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. I want to teach a lot of things. Time is coming. Acts 10 38. Say, I'm receiving light. Say, I'm receiving light. Ah, Yamasanda. I've said it over. It's too late for me to be small. It's too late because I've received knowledge. See, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Do you know what light does? Try to walk in darkness and see. And then there's a walk in light and you see. It's a difference. Hallelujah. So, Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Quickly, Obed.
Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Mm-hmm. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and of the devil.
Healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
For God was with him.
And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So, according to God's definition of sickness, any kind, that which has come and that which will come, and that which has passed already. Why? Because see, when God created man, there was no sickness. There was no record that Adam was sick. Then man fell. Sin came into the world. And sin's offspring, sickness, came into the world. But you see, listen, let me show you this thing. You realize that after Adam's fall, all those men who came afterwards, Noah, Abraham, there was no record that they were sick. Let me show you why. Because they had no knowledge of sickness. Hallelujah. The reason why there was no record that Noah was sick, Abraham was sick, Enoch was sick, and lying down, was because there was no record, there was no knowledge of sickness. Why? Because there was no knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 or verse 10. Forgotten what it is. He says that, for through the law, the knowledge of sin came. When the knowledge of sin came, the knowledge of sickness came. When the knowledge of sickness came, fear came. When you read the Bible, it says that, and those who through fear of death, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, quickly. I'm explaining something to you. Why am I so interested in this thing? Because see, there are two important things here on this earth. One is health. The other thing is wealth. Two important. The reason why you wake up tomorrow at 5 o'clock to go to work is because of wealth. And the only thing you will not want to have is to be sick. You will say, oh, now I just have fever. But if you don't have this now, and it becomes more than fever, you can be in the hospital for years. Have you not heard about people who have been in the hospital for years? Some of them have been taken even to... The doctor said, no, we can't do anything. They've taken home. They are at home waiting to die with their sickness. Mercy. See, I'm a world changer. So I always say that there are two important things that two important. One is health, one is wealth. You wouldn't want to be sick. You wouldn't. Because I tell people that, see, when we talk about sin, people will be looking at your face. You one day just go to Kolebu, sit down quietly and look at all the people who are there. I'm not saying this because I want you to, but what I want you to get to know what I'm telling you. To understand, when you go to Colombia, see the number of sick people there, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Sickness can erase all your life savings. I've seen people do work because of one relative that was sick, has never been to work again. Some of them, they employed another person. Why? Because the guy was sick or the relative was sick and he had to take care of the relative. So they had to employ another person. So, you see, these things are not things we just sit down and say, oh, Prince, we have come for today. He's telling us it's healing and ask me, I'm not sick. Why is it? No. I'm programming you for health. That's what I'm doing. I'm programming you for wealth. Hallelujah. So those men did not have the knowledge of sin. And they did not have the knowledge of sickness. Because they did not have the knowledge of sin. The Bible says it was through the law that sin came. And through the law that sin, the knowledge of sin was made known. Through the law. And because there was no fear in them, they couldn't think sickness. They didn't know what was sickness. Like today, when we say cancer, you know, you can even tell us the symptoms. They didn't know what it was. Because when men decided to look for, to have knowledge of sickness, what is sickness? What is this kind of thing? What is this kind of sickness? That fear came. The Bible says that people are in bondage. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. Mm-hmm. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same.
He also himself likewise took part of the same.
That through death.
That through death.
He might destroy him.
We're talking about Jesus going to hell. Taking on flesh and blood and going to hell. To destroy the one who has the power of death. Which is the devil.
Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of
and
death.
Deliver them who through fear of death. He did not deliver them who through death. No. He said he delivered them who through fear of death. The greatest weapon of the devil is fear. You see, this sickness that is in, that they are talking about, this sickness that is in town. Now listen, Ebola, if they will change it and begin to say the gospel, look at how we have promoted this sickness. Imagine in that same way we were promoting the gospel. But the world will always promote their own. They are of the world. But then listen. So, the knowledge of sickness came. Fear came. That's why somebody can go to the hospital and tell me you have this sickness. All of a sudden, the person shrinks. He shrinks. Do you know what that means? It means that if the person was fat, the person becomes very thin. All of a sudden, within a second. You ask her, what is wrong with you? So, nothing. Sickness is an enemy. Sickness is not a friend. You wouldn't, that's why I said, you wouldn't want to be sick. Not even migraine. Not even fever. Or pain in the leg or the knee. You'll be going to work, you'll be doing like this. You say, at the end of the night. Even granny's stomach, try it and see. So sickness is an enemy. It doesn't, well, maybe you want sickness to be your friend. To me, sickness is an enemy, and I'm showing that sickness was an enemy of Jesus. Why? Because wherever Jesus went, he healed the sick. He didn't want you to be sick. He wanted you to be whole. That is your will. You also don't want to be sick. You want to be whole. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Because if you are not in health, you can't do his will. No matter your big business empire, you are sick down, somebody will chop the money. You buy a car, you are going to drive the car, you are sick down, somebody will be driving the car. You'll be in a hurry and somebody will drive in the car. But that is not the story of the Christian. But you see, sickness, the Bible calls it the spirit of infirmity. It causes an oppression in the body by a demonic spirit. Look at him. One day the Bible says that Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law's house and discovered that Peter's mother-in-law had fever. And because of her fever, he couldn't give them food to eat. Jesus was hungry. When Jesus entered the house and discovered that the woman had fever, the Bible says that he rebuked the fever. He did not say, oh, fever, how do we handle it? Fever? No. One thing I like about Jesus is that he knew nothing about what we know. The only thing he knew was himself. That's why Paul said, I determined not to know anything else. If the church will know only one thing, as in Christ, settle. We know too much. Every wind that blows, a Christian knows. When you meet two Christians, instead of talking about the word of God, what are they talking about? They're talking about what they have heard on the news somewhere. That you hear doesn't mean that it cannot attack you. That you go around telling everybody doesn't mean it cannot. It can refuse to attack you when it recognizes you. Hallelujah. Go to Luke quickly. Luke 13, verse 10. Okay, quickly. Luke 13:10, write it down.
And
so
he was,
sickness is a spirit of infirmity. The Bible calls it the spirit of infirmity sent from the devil. When it attacks your body, when the demon of infirmity or the spirit of infirmity, spirit of sickness. That's why we say we don't know what is wrong with you. They take the hospital and say, can't find out what is wrong with this person. Cannot be detected. Demons are not detected in the lab. So, So it says that the spirit of infirmity, when the spirit of infirmity attacks your head with migraine, you go to the hospital, they'll give you drug. They'll give you drug. Every day you'll be taking drug. Your head will still be aching. Migraine. I remember when we started watching this conference here at Laboni. There was a lady at Manette who came around with migraine. She said from childhood she had had a migraine. Every time she would take drug, she would always take drug, go to the hospital. They couldn't help her. Taking drug every time for just migraine. They couldn't detect it. Drug cannot kill the spirit of infirmity. By the time we met her at that time, she was at Legon. I don't know where she is now. We said we're having a meeting. When she came, I just laid my hands and said, I rebuke you, foul spirit of infirmity. That was all. That was the demon of infirmity head I was talking to. She checked out. But then read Luke 13 quickly.
13 verse 10 downwards. Uh-huh. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues.
In one of the synagogues.
On
quickly,
the Sabbath.
Quickly, Obed.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
18 years. She had what?
The spirit of infirmity.
Did I write it there?
No.
I saw it there. I said, no. I saw it again. This was the spirit of infirmity. And they call it arthritis of the spine. Quickly.
And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
A spirit of infirmity 18 years.
Uh-huh. And was bowed together.
And was bowed together. Uh-huh.
And could in no wise lift up herself.
And could in no wise lift up herself. Oh, la has.
And when Jesus saw her.
And when. Oh, you see. Say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
When Jesus saw her, she didn't say, how are you? Get this 50 CD. No. He didn't say that. A painkiller, he didn't say that. See, when Jesus saw her, immediately Jesus saw her, he knew that something was wrong. From the beginning, but from the beginning it was not so. And that was, Adam was not created bound. The Bible said he could not do what? No, in no wise lift up herself. Let me show you. Just as she was walking. Every time. When Jesus was there, she had always been like that every time. One day when Jesus saw her, Jesus with a different kind of understanding. So this thing you are receiving is a different kind of understanding. That Christ is in you, but that faith is manifesting Christ. When Christ is manifested, glory is seen. And Christ is the authority. And you have discovered that sickness is the spirit of infirmity. And this woman could not do what? Lift up herself. Then Jesus, upon seeing the woman, said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And the Bible says that he touched the woman. The woman became straight. Come on, Papa. So what manner of man is Jesus? See, the woman became straight. The Bible says, it's on the Sabbath. Do you know what Jesus said? He said the same thing that Peter said in Acts 10:38. Says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. He didn't say who just had arthritis. He didn't call it arthritis. I said, whom Satan... do I have Christians here?
Yes.
Do you know what Christians do? They believe what God's word says. They call things the way God calls them. When God says you are righteous, you say you are righteous. When God says sickness is... When God says you have eternal life, you say you have eternal life. Whether you have seen it or not, you say you have eternal life. If God says that sickness is the spirit of infirmity, he says it's the spirit of infirmity. And attack the spirit of infirmity with Christ in you. Authority over spirits of infirmity. Demons of infirmity. Demons of cancer. People say, oh, it just comes from mosquitoes. This one comes from... Do you know how many people malaria kills in a year? Don't sit down to be oppressed. He says they were oppressed of the devil. How? Through sickness. You are lying down, you are shivering. You can't go to work. Monday, you are not in work. Tuesday, you are not in work. Wednesday, you are not in work. You are oppressed. You can't stand up. Your boss calls you, what is happening? I'm very sick. I'm very sick. You are in torment. I hate sickness like I hate the devil. Same way, I don't say that I hate the devil and I like sickness. No. Sickness. Sickness is the offspring of the devil. It's their mother is sin. Hallelujah. But what did he do? The Bible says that Jesus said, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound, Lord, this 18 years, ought not this woman be loosed from thy infirmity? Woman, thou art loosed from. He says, Satan has bound this woman how many years? 18 years. And all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those Jews saw her every time and said, oh, mommy, at the same, mommy, at the same. But Jesus was different. We are walking in the shoes of Jesus. Why? We are in him. His authority over devils is our authority over devils. This is what the disciples understood. And when the Holy Ghost came and they were called apostles, they did things. One day Paul was preaching, met a man. The man was listening. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Why would Paul do that? Because he saw that Jesus was doing it. And he discovered that this Jesus who was doing it was in him. If Jesus did it, I can do it. Say, whatever Jesus did, I can do. Say, I'm blessed. So he calls it the spirit of infirmity. I don't care what you call it. I call it the spirit of infirmity. That's what Jesus calls it. You can choose that I don't believe in this thing. I don't care. I don't care what you believe. I believe. And I have faith. I don't want you to believe with me. I'm just showing you. You have a choice. Whether to believe the spirit of infirmity and say, no, this thing cannot kill my brother. Instead of sitting and say, oh, we don't even know. This preacher is saying, also, then your brother is dying. Next time you meet the devil on your brother, you meet sickness, you've met the devil on your brother. If you meet demons and you cast them out, you meet sick spirit of infirmity, you cast them out. A Christian who just sits down doing nothing, he won't cast out demons, he won't cast out spirit of infirmity. All he does is to sit down in church every day, every time. That Christian cannot see victory. Why? Because faith is the manifestation. It is not the sitting down. The manifestation. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What am I showing you? Sickness is the spirit of infirmity. You don't say from childhood. There is not, now that you know, you are lighted up. You don't need a laying on of hands. No. I've discovered that when you lay hands on Christ every day, they are saying, they never put their faith to work. They're just looking for one man of God. Tomorrow you go, you find out that the man of God is not there, he has traveled. Let me show you something before I close right now. Luke chapter 17. So sickness is a spirit of infirmity. Whatever name they call it, it notwithstanding. Do you know how many people that sickness kills? You are calling it your friend. You want to be sick. You want to entertain one sickness. What if the one that comes is higher than the one they drug? This one, they gave you drugs. What about the other one? They don't have drugs. And you know that you are carrying something which is an enemy. But you see, you are carrying Christ. I'm carrying Christ. I'm carrying the God kind of faith. I'm carrying authority. When I sit down, I sit majestically. Have you seen me walking before? I walk majestically. God. Why? Because I am coming as a man of authority. I don't care what anybody says. I only care about what God has said. What anybody says will fail. The only thing that will remain is the word. So as long as you are with the word, you have your victory. As long as you are with faith, you have the victory. That's why faith is the victory. You can tell the end from the beginning. Faith tells the end from the beginning. Because faith knows that he is victorious no matter what. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Open to Luke quickly. Let me show you something. So when he says that, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Luke 17, you will say to this mountain. If you came here with any sickness, you are coming to talk to the sickness. You are going to be healed today. You will talk to the sickness today. You've never done that before. Today you do it. What I've been praying for about watching this movie, I want to see people who, after watching this movie, they can go and do things. Do things. I remember I've shared this testimony that I was there. I had a hiccough. I was going to sleep and I had drank all the water in the house. That was natural. Then I switched into the supernatural. Do you know when you switch? When you pray in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost for 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour, all of a sudden, there will be this, you will want to tear the devil apart. You will not know why that man did not give you this thing. This job belongs to me. You will not know. You instead of sitting there and saying, no, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, this job is yours, whether the man wants it or not. Unless you don't want it. Because you are taking this job through faith. You are not going to say, I have the job, I have it. That's not what I'm saying. Say, that's confession. It's even between confession and faith. Confession is good, it builds your faith, but there is confession, there is faith. Let me show you what faith does. Luke chapter 17, verse 6, quickly. And we can close.
Chapter 17, verse 6. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, mm-hmm. if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, mm-hmm. ye might say unto this sycamine tree,
ye might say unto this sycamine tree,
be thou plucked up by the roots,
be thou uprooted by the roots,
and be thou planted in the sea,
and be thou planted in the sea,
and it should obey you.
And it should do what? Obey you. See, listen. Do you people read the Bible? Obey. It says, and it should obey who?
Me.
It didn't say it should obey God. It says, not saying it will obey me. It says it should obey you. You. Now, we are going to read it all. We are all going to read it right now, and you put your name there. It should obey Prince. 1, 2, go. Quickly. So it's obeying Prince. What is obeying? So when you say to this sickness, leave my body, that means that you are acting in faith. You are putting your faith to work. I'm showing you how to put your faith to work. You put your faith to work by saying to that thing. You put your faith, I said faith is manifestation of Christ. How do I put my faith to work? By sitting down? No. But it says that you shall say, we have the God kind of faith, we have this master seed faith. I've told you that the God kind of faith is this faith. That says, and Jesus always spoke. And the disciples were like, increase our faith. They wanted an increased faith. And Jesus said, no. If you have this kind of faith that I have, you don't need an increased faith. You need a saying. It says, you shall say to this tree, be uprooted by the roots, and be planted in the sea. In other words, the tree is going to respond to what you say. This is beyond just saying, oh, I am who Christ. No. This time you are addressing an issue. This time you are saying to your finances. This time you are saying to your business. This time you are saying to your marriage. You are saying to your body. You speak to your body rejects every poison. You shall say to your body, you shall say to every sickness, you shall say to your blood, you shall say to your bones. What are you going to say? What you will say to the bones is what the bones will do. That's what Jesus was saying. It is serious. He says, you shall say to this sycamine tree, be uprooted by the roots and be planted, and it should obey. So your bones can obey you. Why? Because you have the God kind of faith and you have Christ. And faith is the manifestation of Christ. When you say to your bones responds to you. Responds to your faith in the authority that is at work. And as you have talked about other things and the power of God, how your faith manifests. So that you get to know that when you say to this thing, it must be that way. According to Jesus, he has raised some people on this earth called the church, Christians. That when they say to things, the things must do what?
Obey.
So they will say to this sycamine tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. And they will do what? Whatever nation you find yourself there, you are in control. Whatever economy that you find yourself in, you are higher. Why? Because you can say to things, it's a great opportunity. When somebody calls you and says that, you know what? Whatever you speak to will obey you. Do you know what that means? If I call and say, come, whatever you speak to will obey you. Do you know what that means? Hiya. Please, you want to go to any school, you are already there. Why? You are not now thinking, will they give me admission? No. How can you think that way? He says, you shall say. Unless you sit down and say, hey, as for me, I don't believe that when I say something will happen. Then that is your own cup of tea. As for some of us, we know that Jesus said it. Shout hallelujah. So you shall say to this thing, you shall say to this mountain. The mighty one says that you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it shall move from here to there. I won't talk about these things now. Shout hallelujah. They say the supernatural. You are dealing with someone, the person's name is on the computer, your name is not there. You shall say to that name. You speak to the person's name to leave. Let your name come. It's not possible. It's possible. I'll show you the power of God. Supernatural. So you switch to the supernatural. We are always dealing with people, begging people, doing this. Like, not everything is natural. As long as you are going the natural way, you are in trouble. There will definitely be a limitation somewhere. Naturally, there will always be. Where you cannot be limited is in the supernatural. And God has given you the supernatural kind of life. And there is a person in you who is a supernatural person. And has given you his kind of faith. And it says function in the supernatural. Through your faith. How do you do that? By saying to this person. Oh yeah. Shout hallelujah. This is the message for champions. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I'm a success. Say, whatever I speak to shall obey me. Say, opportunities obey me. That's why I say, you're not in competition with anybody. Promotion, you're not in competition with anybody. If the man is promoted, he will be demoted. Definitely, because you have said something, the person must come down for you to come out. Once he's not a Christian, he's in trouble. If he's a Christian who doesn't know this thing, a little bit of trouble. But he's not a Christian, he's in trouble. That is how we differentiate between the children of God and the children of this world. Shout hallelujah. So you speak. You say to this thing. You are not just lying down there. Oh, God, please help me. Oh, God. Please heal my leg. Oh God, please let this thing come. Oh God, you keep doing that and doing that and doing that, and the devil will be standing up and be laughing. How can a champion be begging God to do something? The devil will be saying it. Devils, demons, sicknesses recognize people. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? They know that this person, don't go there. Go to this person. This one, when you give him sickness, he will say, back to sender. When you give this one sickness, he will say, oh, Yahweh, you. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we please be upstanding? Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
When you hear these things, go and do what? Practice them. The Bible says that he that heareth my word and doeth them. That's why when you go to church, you come for a conference like this, you write down things. You go and study them so that you don't forget. You don't become a forgetful hearer. A forgetful hearer. Hallelujah. You don't become a forgetful. You do it. You practice the word. You practice the word. Listen, as many people as go to practice this thing, they sit down. They study it. They study it. I'm a champion. The more I study these things, the more I know that I'm a high flyer. I'm flying. I'm flying. I don't care where you find. I don't know where you find. I don't know. See, I don't even know what the kind of life you want to live. Some people, they fed all this thing, all the kind of life they want to live. If you are doing business, you should be internationally known. You should be known financially. All of you here, you should be known financially, internationally. I'm not talking about. I've told them, I said I'm on CNN, on BBC, everywhere. They are interviewing me. Why is this thing happening? Already there. I'm not now going to be there. I am there. I got there when I got this knowledge. Simple. That is your knowledge. As you carry this knowledge, you are also there. BBC, they will interview you. Why are you financially buoyant like that? What is your secret? Why is that you, whatever you hold it? Have you read the Bible? Go and read about Abraham. Go and read about one day. I'll teach, I've said next week, I'll teach about the Abrahamic faith and the faith of Jesus Christ, the father of faith and the author of faith. Go and ask Abraham. He was so successful. Even when there was famine, there had to be a transfer somewhere for this man. And the first transfer he got from Pharaoh, Pharaoh was like a god, was an idol worshiper. God took all the things, gave it to Abraham. As long as he was a blessed person. What are you saying? So there is no opportunity for you to be lesser. After hearing this, is there any opportunity? Unless maybe you've decided to be, as for me, this thing I'm hearing, I don't know. But if you sit on it, the word of God works. Faith produces proofs after God's word. Results. Answers. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abraham was blessed. Job was blessed. Fully buoyant. He wasn't a pastor. He was fully buoyant financially. Read Job. Read Solomon. And all those people, the Bible says that all of them are lesser than the Christian. We have come into Christ, into the riches of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we don't need to pray too much. Lift up your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Makote prakasaya. Christ is in me. I manifest Christ. Christ is in me. I manifest Christ. Christ is in me. I manifest Christ. Bantalabakaya. Bentolobokosaya. Begako sekeri bakusaya. Ho palavadia. Hey palavadaya. Parando. Zekete pereko sakaya. Mekoroboko sataya. Mentoloborobo sakapaya. Zepereko sekerebelebe. Rekobolobo kosaya. Matolebe kosekebelebe. Mekorobo kosikirabalaba. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. I manifest Christ. I manifest Christ. I manifest Christ. I manifest Christ.
The word is a seed. When planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive. In a world where there's seasons and times, this is your season. It's time to shine again. In a world where there's seasons. day to day, working inside of you.